We continue our learning Lili Nishmas David Ben Menachem Rishon Chaim Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We're Maaser Sheni Perakei Mishnah Test. We're going to discuss the halacha of biur for someone who's far away from his house. Misha Yuperos of Rechokim Imenu. Person's produce is very far, and he's supposed to give, as we know, part of biur is ensuring that the proper recipients are going to get their gifts. Let's say Maaser Rishon, for example, that the Levi gets his Maaser Rishon. But here we have a person who's far away, doesn't have access to his produce, who's not going to be given to the Levi. So what should he do? So says the Mishnah, Tzarech Likra Lahem Shem. Literally, you have to assign a name to them. What does that mean? So the many Mepharshim say what that means here is I have to make sure that I designate them to the right people. We're talking about a case in the Mishnah where I actually had separated the various gifts already, but they were not given to the proper recipients. So the Mishnah is telling us that what I'm supposed to do, if the Levi didn't get his Maaser Rishon yet, how do I fulfill the biur properly? Now, that would mean that the phrase likra lahem shem doesn't really mean, should not be taken literally. Likra lahem shem usually means that I'm designated a name, I call trumas maser, I call maser, etc. That's not what it means here. Here it means that I had already separated the maser. The question is, have I given it yet to the right person? The Mishnah says no. So likra lahem shem means that I have to make sure that I'm going to designate it to the right people. Rambam learns the Mishnah differently. The Rambam claims we're talking about a case where the person didn't designate him at all. And when the time of the biur arrives, at the very least, we have to make sure that we're going to give them, we're going to designate them to the right people. That's true. But even prior to that, I haven't separated them out. So according to the Rambam, likra lahem shem means that I haven't even called them maaser. I haven't separated them out at all. So the Mishnah is telling us that in order, before I can do anything else, I absolutely have to separate them out. And the Mishnah is telling us that this is what a person should be doing. Likra lahem shem, he has to make sure that at least, even though he physically lets his not next to his produce, to make the separation, but calling them by name will also be sufficient. Maisa b'Rabbi Gamliel b'Hazakenim. So Mishnah tells us of a story where Rabbi Gamliel was traveling on a ship with some of the rabbis at the time of biur. Shuyban basfina. Amar Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel here has to take care of making sure that legally all of the people who are supposed to receive their various gifts are going to receive them prior to the biur, so he could fulfill that aspect of the biur obligation. So the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel says like this, Isur Shani Asid Lamod Nasun Lihoshua. So the first thing is like this, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, who was a Levi, was on the ship with them, conveniently. So Rabbi Gamliel says, okay, I'm giving Rabbi Yeshua the first one-tenth, the Maaser Rishon, and it will be his. Now, what does it mean, Shani Asid Lamod, that I plan on measuring out? It sounds like from that he had not separated out. According to the Rambam's interpretation, that fits in perfectly. Indeed, he did not measure it out. And he's going to measure it out later. And then retroactively, it'll be his. But according to our understanding, he had already separated it out. So Lamod should not necessarily be considered, should not be taken literally. So Rabbi Gamliel, and the only question we have to ask is, how do we understand what Rabbi Gamliel is doing? So we have to believe that Rabbi Gamliel, although it says Asarani Lamod, it really means that he had already orally made the designation from his produce, properly separating everything. And only now is he granting the Maaser Rishon as a gift to Rabbi Yoshua, who is a Levi. Mishnah assumes that we know this already, and we're only dealing with the pre-Biur declaration, and therefore Lamot should not be taken literally. So when he says, I'm going to that tenth, which I'm going to measure out in the future, what he means is like this, I really had separated it out orally, I declared it, but physically, I haven't done that. So physically, when I separate it out, when I get off my ship, it will have already been given to Rabbi Yehoshua. possibility number two is that maybe we could understand that Rabbi Gamliel is giving the maestros to these various rabbis on the ship, and he fulfills the halacha of Biur by making these designation, even though he didn't separate anything before, even though he didn't declare them, which is a very interesting halacha, which means the approach to the Mishnah. Remember the principles, Matanos, Shelo, Hurmur, Kamisha, Hurmur, Damyan. We had a discussion about that. And the Mishnah may be employing the principle in a very interesting way, very novel way. I have gifts, and they have not yet been separated. It's as if they've been separated. To what extent? So what this is saying is, even though I didn't separate them out, somehow I can grant, I can gift them to the proper recipients, even though I didn't even declare that this is Maaser Rishon yet. Nonetheless, that can be effective, and I can fulfill my biur by transferring the ownership to these people, even though the Maaser Rishon not only wasn't physically separated out, but wasn't even declared orally as separating out. And maybe that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Isur Shani Asid Lamod Nasan Lehoshua. Either way, Mishnah then says, Umekomo Muskarlo. And the place, its place, is leased to him as well. What does it mean? Rabbi Yeshua could only acquire the Maser Rishon that's somewhere in Rabbi Gamliel's house, right now they're on a boat. The only way to do so is through a proper method of kinyan. Now, how are we normally, Kona, how do we normally acquire movable objects? So through mishicha, pulling if it's too heavy, or hagbah, lifting it up. Physically, we have to take hold of it. Here, it's not on the boat. So how is it possible that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, as the token Levi on the ship, is going to acquire this take official halachic possession so that Rabbi Gamliel could fulfill the mitzvah of biur? How's that going to work if he can't take hold of it? So that's exactly what the Mishnah is telling us. Mekoma Muskal is going to rent the area where it is found, wherever that area is, and he's able to rent it to him. He pays a couple of coins to Rabbi Gamliel right now. So way back in Rabbi Gamliel's house, there's a certain section that's in the pantry, in the refrigerator, where the fruit is, and that area is rented to Rabbi Yeshua. He rents that karka, that piece of land, which is perfectly acceptable. Karka can be acquired with kesef. And then incidental to that, what we call the kiyan agav, he's able to acquire the movable objects, the produce that's sitting on those shelves. That's precisely what we do when we sell our chametz. We can't physically, no one's giving, the rabbi's not giving millions of dollars of chametz physically, everyone's chametz to the non-Jew. But it's metaltal, it's movable objects. So how do you make a kinyan on it? So the answer is, one of the ways is a kinyan agav. What he does is he rents, he leases the pantry, the shelves on which it's found. That's karka, and that can be effective through kinyan kesef. Then by dint of that, what we call agav, incidental to that, you can acquire the metaltalin through that kinyan as well. That's precisely what's happening over here. Next, Isrush Acher, Arshani Asid Lamo Nosul Akiva Ben Yosef, Shizka Bolanim. Rabbi Akiva was the treasurer of the funds for Tzedaka, so therefore he could acquire this on behalf of everybody else. Alternatively, you could say that maybe this is through, even if you don't have anyone who's going to transfer the maser ani to those who need so, nonetheless, azach adam shalom b'fanav, this can be done anyway, and you can fulfill the biur through this as well. Someone else could do the kinyan agav. You don't need the treasurer of the aniyim. Anyone can do it because it's considered advantageous to them. But either way, the isur acher, the maser ani, is going to be given to, that I'm going to measure, which we have different interpretations what that means in the future, is going to be given to Akiva ben Yosef, who's sitting on the boat with me, Sheyizka Bolaniyim. And once again, Umekomo Muskarlo, and the place as well is acquired to him. Now, what he's doing is, this is the Maaser Ani from the previous year. Remember, the Biur is right at the end, is the beginning of the Pesach of the fourth year. So the previous year was the third year. Then you give the Maaser Ani. Or if in the seventh year is when I'm doing the other possibility, that's when the other Biur is done. So then it's the previous year, the sixth year is Maaser Ani. So that Maaser he's giving to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yehoshua, Isur Shani Lamo Ashani Yasin Lamo Nasan Leila Zaben Azaria Umekoma Muskala. What's happening here? So here, Rabbi Yoshua is the one who's the Levi, but the Levi has to give Trumas Maser from the Maser Rishon that he has. So he takes 1/10 of what I was given, 1/10 of the 1/10 that I plan on measuring out, also subject to interpretation, is going to be given to Elazar ben Azariah, who's on the boat as well, Umakom Miskalo, and once again, Kinyan Agav, and he will acquire the place. And they will accept some money for this transaction, for the transaction of leasing the place where the produce is found. And then through Kinyan Agav, everyone is able to receive what they need, and Rav Gamliel fulfills, and everyone is able to fulfill the mitzvah of Biur. Interestingly, Mefarshim point out that why wouldn't I do a Kinyan Chalipin? We do that with the non-Jew as well. When we sell the chametz, not only do we do a Kinyan Kesev, but a Kinyan Agav, not only do we lease the area where the chametz is found, the karka, but we, and of course, we purchase the chametz with money as well. But we also do a Kinyan Chalipin. We give a kli, we give a cloth, whatever it may be, pick it up. We do use that at a wedding very often. So why wouldn't we do such a Kinyan? And there are those who explain that Kinyan Chalipin is not acceptable over here. Why not? Because with the Torah, when it speaks about Truma and Maisos, etc., it has to be given to the people and it can't be sold to them. So when we're speaking about money, so the money we understand is a little bit of money of rental, of a rental of that place. But you give over a cloth that very much looks like a sale, looks like a kinyan. That was the classic, that was the item that was used for a kinyan. As we know from Rus, the source of Kinyan Chalip, it is the fact that a shoe was given as a kli, to symbolize that there is a kinyan taking place. So therefore, we don't use kinyan chalipin. We now are in Parakeh, Mishnah Yud, and the Mishnah is going to discuss the Vidui Maser, the Psukim and Parshas Kisavu we just read today, of Amarto Fenashem Lokecha, Biarti Akodesh Mirabayas, Vigabnis Sativ, La Leviv, La Gele, Somamana, etc. So the Mishnah here is going to teach us, and this was done, as the Mishnah says, b'mincha b'yom tov ha'achron hu'mitzvadim. It was mincha on the last day of Pesach is when they recited the vidui maser. Now biur, we remember, was done when on the first day of Pesach I give everything what I need to give out and I destroy, let's say, the maser sheni things that I have to destroy that to revive. But I didn't destroy all of the Maser Sheni and Revai at that point. Why? Because we said we were allowed to leave over whatever I need for Pesach is acceptable. And therefore, I would only destroy the rest of it on the last day of Pesach. And therefore, I could only say the Vidui then. Why? Because how could I say B'yarti HaKodesh Ben Abayis when I still have some left? So I can't say that. Can't declare that on the first day of Pesach. But the last day of Pesach, when we're finished eating, I have none, and we're done with the Maser Sheni and Etar Revai, then I can declare that indeed I've given, I've destroyed everything that I need to. So that's done on Mincha, on Yom Tov HaAchron of Pesach. Now, says the Mishnah, Ketzad Yehaya HaVidu. What would a Vidu sound like? Now, the Mefarshim point out that the Mishnah, it really is not telling us what the nusach of the vidu is. That I know from the Chumash. I read the Chumash, that tells me the nusach. Like I read the nusach of Chalitza, is also in the Chumash. So what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is we're going to quote the psukim, that is part of the nusach, and then we're going to darshan, we're going to expound upon them to tell us which phrases, which gifts, which items are included in the various phrases that are found in the parasha. So take the first example. Ketzayin Avidu. B'yarti HaKodesh Ben Abayis. That's the phrase. What's the Kodesh that this is referring to that I have to destroy? Zeh Maser Sheni V'Neta Ravai. That's a reference to the Maser Sheni and the Neta Ravai. That's what that pasuk refers to. We mentioned that. These are Kodesh, certainly Maser Sheni, if it's Mamon Gavoa, we would treat it in such a way, and Biarti also means that I've destroyed. These are the items that have to be destroyed if they weren't eaten in Yerushalayim, so therefore this makes perfect sense that as the Mishnah says, Biyar Tekodesh Benabayis is a reference to Maaser Sheni and Neta Ravai. Nisativ La Levi. We know we say in the Pasuk, V'gab Nisativ La Levi, what's that referring to? So that's pretty easy. Zeh Maaser Levi. This refers to the Maaser Rishon that's given to the Levium. So I'm declaring as well, not only that I destroy my Maaser Sheni and Neta Ravai, which is reflected in the words, Biyar Tekodesh Benabayis, I gave my Maaser Rishon to the proper people. Now, there is a discussion in Masechet Yevamos, Machlokes Tanoim, whether Midoraisu you can give Maaser Rishon even to a Kohen. Rabbi Akiva says only to Levim, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you can give it a Maaser Rishon to a Kohen. But our Mishnah says Maaser Rishon is Maaser Levi, so that seems to imply that Midoraisu, not Kohanim, and only Levim receive the Maaser Rishon. Then vigam nisativ, the extra word vigam, because the vigam nisativ lalevi. What's vigam? Vigam is a ribui, it's an inclusionary term. Zo truma utrumas maser. That's a reference. That extra word vigam coming to teach me says vigam nisativ lalevi is a reference to truma and trumas maser. I've also given it's an extra word. Now some point out what do you mean? What do you mean? Why would vigam nisativ lalevi refer to? Why would I learn from the word gam truma, trumas maser, if it's talking about a levi? So one simple answer is that vigam is just an extra term and includes something else, another gift. Or maybe you could say vigam nisativ lalevi, the kohanim are part of shevet levi, so there's something else given to shevet levi, and that's reference to the truma and the trumas maser. Lager layosom va'amana, that's pretty easy to figure out. Zeh maser ani, which we give in the third and the sixth year, I declare as well that I gave to the proper recipients, the ger, yosam, and almana, to the convert, to the orphan, and to the widow. That's a reference to maser ani on those years. But the Mishnah continues with other gifts. Haleket v'hashecha bapeya. I'm also declaring that I gave leket, the two stalks, that full shecha, that which I, the omer that I forgot, sheaf that I forgot, opeya, the corner, the edge of the field. That's also included in that phrase. Now, afal pi she'enin ma'akvin es avidui. The Mishnah says, however, keep in mind, even though when you say, I gave the gift to the ger yosom lamana, that includes leket shechon peah besides maaser ani. Nonetheless, leket shechon peah are not ma'akev the vidui, which means they're not essential to make to this declaration. Let's say I took the leket for myself or the shechicha, or I never left the peah. Would you tell me that I can't say the vidui maaser? Not true. I'm allowed to say the vidui maaser. However, the other items in the Mishnah, let's say, for example, if I didn't destroy the maaser, sheni, the maaser, and the neta ravai, so then I can't say the vidui maaser at all, right? Or let's say I didn't give him the maaser ani. I can't say lagei yosom lamana, because that is referring to specifically the maaser ani, even though we could expand it to leket shechon peah as well. Min habayis, this is the last phrase in the pasuk, zo chala. That's a reference to giving chala. Chala goes to the kohen. We know we separate that phrase. Now, what's min habayis? Well, a person, the Rambam explains, a person prepares the dough typically and separates the chala in your house. The others are usually separated in the field. So therefore, when I see the word min habayis in Parshas Kisavo, it sounds like I'm referring to the chala. And others quote the pasuk from Yechezkel in Perek Mem Dalet. It says, Reishis Ariso Seichem Titnu La Kohen Lahoniach Bracha El Beisecha. So there's a reference to the bias as well. So and therefore that must be referring to chala. Reishis Ariso Seichem is chala, giving to the Kohen, and it gives you a blessing in your house. There is that's obviously a reference to chala. Now, when I say min habayis, which refers to challah, right, which is the beginning of the, it says, biyarti hakodesh min habayis. That's at the beginning of the pasuk. So nonetheless, the Mishnah didn't mention the phrase min habayis earlier, because the beginning of the pasuk was talking about maaser sheni min ravai. And that I have to destroy, we know, by biur. I have to do that. Challah is different. Chala is truma. That's not something that I destroy. That, what do I do with truma? I give it to the kohen. And they're able to eat truma or chala after the Biur deadline. So that's why the Mishnah only waits to mention Men HaBayis at the end, because it's not, because we treat Challah like Truma, and we don't have to destroy it once the deadline of Biur arrives, like Challah and Truma, as opposed to Neter Avai and Maaser Sheni, once the, hasn't been consumed Yerushalayim, once this Man Biur arrives, it's too late and it has to be destroyed.